Lesson 86 in the book of Matthew, as we continue our study in a dispensational view of the book of Matthew. We left off last lesson with Peter cutting off the ear of the servant of the high priest. And one of the questions we have at this point is, why did he have a sword to start with? You ever wondered about that? Because before, they didn't have swords. So you got Matthew chapter 26. Turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verse 35. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lack ye anything? And they said, what? Nothing. So when he sent them out, without purse, without scrip, without shoes, God was with them, wasn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ was with them. So who was the provider there? God was. He providing everything for them. Verse 36. Then said he unto them, but now, he that have a purse, let him take it. And likewise, his scrip. And he that have no sword, let him sell his garment and what? Buy one. So now's the time that there's got to be selling this, and they're going to have to buy a sword. And this takes place just before he goes into the garden. So the same context is in Matthew chapter 26. Verse 37 of Luke says, for I say unto you, that this time is written, must ye be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, the things concerning me have a end. It's time for Lord Jesus Christ to die. And he's going to consider himself, they are going to consider him as a thief and a robber and a crook, and they're going to come after the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 38, and the Lord, still in Luke, and they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. So he's telling them it's okay to carry a sword. But they missed the point here. He is telling them things are now changing. And when I sent you out before, like in Matthew chapter 10, remember that when he sent them out, go ye and all, but don't go to the Gentiles. Or the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the what? The lost sheep of the house of Israel. He has sent them out to do some things. But now I'm going to die, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. And I'm going to die, and until the Holy Spirit comes back, you're going to be on your own. This is what he's trying to share with Peter, James, and the rest of them. And you're going to need a sword, you're going to need some scrip, and you're going to need some money. You see that? Luke 22, verse 49 says, when they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? Now, that's what they're going to do. They have a sword in their hand. They see who's following. Should they smite them? And Peter cuts the guy's ear off. Remember? That's where we're at. Go back over to Matthew. The point is that Jesus just told them to get a sword for their own protection. Not for his protection. For his own protection. And they should step up and keep him. But you know what they try to do is they try to step up and keep him from going to the cross. You can't go. I'll protect you. And because they're going to need this sword for their own protection, not Jesus Christ needs that protection. In John chapter 18, verse 8, I'll read this to you. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. Remember we talked about that last lesson. He said, hey, if you're coming after me, here I am, but let the other guys go. Be like, we'd probably be different. It's like, hey, take the other guys, leave me alone, you know. I'm running. It wasn't me. That's what we'd probably be thinking about. So they got a sword, and they can think they had to protect the Lord Jesus Christ. And there goes Peter. Peter, that's what he thinks he has to do, and he goes into action and cuts the guy's ears off. We talked about that. You know, you don't go after a guy to cut, you know, go this way vertically. Peter went after the guy's head. He's going to cut the guy's head off, and the guy ducks this way and, you know, slices this way. So the ear goes up, and the Lord grabs it and puts it back on. Chapter 26, Matthew 26, verse 52. 26, verse 52. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Verse 53. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? You know, what Peter's doing is he's jumping into the fact that here I am, and there's something I ought to do. You know, I've got the sword, Lord, here I am, I'm going to protect you. But what did God say? Put the sword up.
Right.
And if I need to be delivered, this is basically what he's saying, I can say, Father, and he'll send legions of angels down. You know how much a legion is in a Roman army? About 6,000 men. And the Lord just said he'll send 12,000 legions. 12 legions of angels. He'll send 12 times 6. That's all he had to do. Say, Father, send them. And they was at his dispatch at any time. You remember back in 2 Kings chapter 19, one angel killed 185,000 people. One angel. And he can call 12 legions. You think about that. He could have wiped out everything, couldn't he? But the thing is, even Samson, you remember how many Samson killed? Samson was an angel, but with a jawbone, he killed thousands, didn't he? Thousands. Do you reckon 62,000 angels would have any trouble taking care of the Lord Jesus Christ? No. So with brute force and an army to come and wipe them out was not the answer. That's what the Lord could have called that, but he's telling Peter, no. What it is, verse 54, but how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that this must be? That's the issue here. You see, Peter, if I need to do what to be delivered, I could speak a word and it would be delivered. And there wouldn't be any problem at all. But what about the scriptures? What about the word? It wouldn't be fulfilled, would it, guys? That's the issue there. And the scriptures say he's going to die. The scriptures say they would all forsake him. The scriptures say he would need to be number with the transgressors. That's what the Word of God says. So he's saying, like, listen, Peter, the issue is not me being delivered from that tough circumstances. The issue is the Word of God and God's Word and God's will be accomplished. And that's the issue. You think about that for a minute. Shouldn't that be an issue with us? What the Word says. Not what you and I wanted. We saw that when he prayed in the garden. The Lord said, not thy will, but your will. So when he came out of the garden, he was so understanding of what God the Father's will was, he's going to the cross to die. And that's what the Word said. And when we wind up God's will with the Word of God, and you understand where you're at in God's Word, it makes a difference in your life. If you think about that for a second. You remember back there in Matthew 26, verse 54, but Matthew 26, 31, Lord Jesus Christ said unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written. Why were they going to be offended? Didn't Christ say, because the Scripture says you're going to be offended? Mm-hmm. It is written. Man, to me, when I see this, guys and gals, and it is written for them, you know, in times past, as we write to divide the word of truth, isn't all of this God's word? Isn't all this truth? I believe it is. And if you don't rightly divide it, you get all mixed up. But the issue is, what is written? I love what Paul tells us in this dispensation. Consider what I say, and the Lord gives you what? Understanding in all things. We can understand what God is doing today through your apostle. Then he says, you know, so Peter's response, sword, you know, back in verse 31, we just read, Matthew 26:31, is a basically human viewpoint. And he is saying, I don't care what the Bible says. And I don't care what the verse says. I'll never be offended. You think about that for a second. Look at me. You're not going to hurt my feelings. You know, that type of thing. What is that? That's human. And I've shared this all the time, that you've got God's viewpoint and Satan's viewpoint, and you've got human's viewpoint. That human viewpoint, whether you want to believe it or not, is just as much powerful as God's word is or Satan's word. Because why? It's coming from you and me. And I don't care what everybody else says. I'm doing what I want to do. You ever done that? I have. Got a witness. But anyway, verse 33 says, Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Lord Jesus just said, how many is going to be offended with all that night?
All
of you. He forgot the word and Christ telling him, verse 34, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice. The issue is God's will and God's word, and that's the thing that counts in any dispensation. Verse 55, Matthew 26:55. Did I go over that too fast?
No.
Because, you know, that's, you know, I'm not going to force anything on you, but that hits me pretty hard there. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ says it's written, and, you know, I think about when Satan, hold your finger there and go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. It's the same thing as like Matthew chapter 4 when the Lord Jesus Christ goes up on the mountain and the Satan's there to tempt him. Verse 3 says, and the devil said unto them, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones that it be made bread. And verse 4, and Jesus answered him saying, it is what?
Written.
Verse 8 down there. Verse 5 says, and taking them up on the mount, high mountain, showed them the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Verse 8 says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is what?
Written.
He's using the word of God. Then you get over in verse 12, after he's saying, give the angels charge over thee to keep thee. And Jesus said, answered him, verse 12, said, and to him it is what?
Said.
I love that account. Matthew says it is written too, but he says it is said. You know, so to me, that's the issue with God, the word of God. That should be our issue. The guy we was talking about this week that we was talking about, the words of God is what the issue is. When people look at you and say, hey, Fred, I need something from you. Give me something. You give them the word. You know, you don't pull out the bank account roll and, you know, that type of thing. Or you give them the words of God. You know what I'm saying? That's what they need. I remember a time over and delivering for another account. And a woman looked at me and she said, Edward, I need some words. I said, what? She said, I need some words. Because she's had cancer in her body and she was just devastated. So what do? You go to the word of God and you give her the word of God. That's what comforts us, because you and I can talk about anything, give each other opinions, and we could say, oh, that's what Dan thinks about, you know, or that's what Leon or Ken, you know what I'm talking about? But it's the words that makes a difference. And verse 55, going back to verse 55, Matthew 26, 55. And that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, are ye come out as against a thief with swords and staffs? For to take me, I sit daily with you in teaching in the temples, and ye lay no hold on me. He was with them in the daylight, but now they're coming after him as if he's a thief. Mm-hmm. Verse 56, but all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be what? Fulfilled. You see, the issue once again is the word and having the word fulfilled. You're not stopping that. We talk all the time about the dispensational view of God's word. We talk about his prophetic timeline. How God looked at his word of God. He set Israel up here above all the nations. And that's prophetic time clock is rolling. And you're not stopping that. And you know that little jingle that we talk about. Peanut Man sitting on the track. His heart was full and flutter. Around the bend come number 10. Toot-toot peanut butter. If you're sitting on the track, he's going to make peanut butter out of you. So that prophetic program is coming down that track. It does not get derailed. It does not stop. You're not stopping God's program. He comes. He dies. He's buried, rose again. He says he gives them the Spirit. They're continuing that program. And the next thing in the prophetic program after stoning of Stephen is supposed to be is the wrath of God is supposed to pour out on the nation Israel. And then the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and has a battle. And then he sits up his throne for 1,000 years. Then he lets everybody go for a season. Then the great white throne of judgment. And then times of the fullness of dispensation of time. That's the prophetic clock that we're looking at here. It is written that he would come and die. It is written that he would be born. You know, people, we talk about this mystery program, how Christ died for our sins and buried and rose again outside the nation Israel, that you don't have to be a part of Israel like people telling you to be in the scriptures, that they have fallen. They look at me and say, no, that's the mystery part of it. I said, no, it's not. You can find back here he's going to die. You see, the issue is the Word of God and that hour of submission. And the hour that a power of darkness has come upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was going to submit and be submissive to the hands of sinful man. That's what the Lord God said. That's why our Lord Jesus Christ said, okay, I'm going to do it because the Word says to do it. You with me? Not because I want it. He prayed back there in the garden to get out of that, did he not? Yes, he did. Verse 56, then all the disciples forsook him and what? Fled. Now wait a minute. Didn't Peter say, I won't be offended? Go to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, verse 50. And it's the same account here. And they all forsook him and fled. And they followed him a certain young man having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. And the young man laid hold on him. And he left the linen cloth and fled from them what? Naked. This guy's moving, isn't he? You think he's stopping? He's running because why? All has forsook the Lord Jesus Christ. They just took the king and he don't want to be no part of it. All has forsook him. That means that Peter forsook him. But there's something in, for you and I to see in verses 53 and 54 of Matthew. 53 and 54 of Matthew. Thinkest thou that I cannot pray the Father and your presence give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled? This it must be. Once again, Christ is telling Peter this one thing that he wasn't ready to accept. That one thing when he said, Pete, put up your sword. It isn't for me. I can get deliverance. He just said, I can pray to the Father, didn't he? I can get deliverance if I needed it, but I'm going to surrender on that purpose. Peter wasn't ready for that. Peter's ready to die. Peter's ready to fight. And the issue here is, he's trying to tell Lord Jesus, Christ is trying to tell Peter, I'm not going to quit because this is what I came to do. And you and I could be sitting there thinking, Lord, you're giving up. You're just quitting on us. You told us you're going to be our king. You told us you're going to have kingdom for us. And now you're going to die. You're surrendering. You're weak. But Christ is going to surrender for this purpose. Because why? That's the plan in the prophetic program. God's purpose was to have His Son to come to be born, and His Son to come to die, and His Son to come to be buried, and His Son to come to be rose again. You can find that in a prophetic program. That's what the Word of God says. Don't fight, Peter. He's telling them. I'm going to Jerusalem to die like I've been trying to tell you guys. And when he told them that, Peter looked. And because he was ready to die with him. He was ready to die for him. He was willing to go and fight, but he wasn't willing to surrender. That's what killed him. Peter's like, I won't be offended. I'm here. Think about this for a minute. Isn't that just like you and I? When we come about serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're serving the ministry, you don't serve the minister, you serve the ministry. We talk about this all the time. You get back the message. You don't back the messenger. You back the message. And when you serve, I'll go, I'll be, I'll do, I for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ says, quit. Stop right there. Just stop. It's got to be me, not you. And what I talked about earlier is the fact that sometimes you get up and you come here and you're like, man, do I really want to be here? And you start thinking about me. You know what I'm talking about? And you just forget about your surroundings, don't you? And you forget about what you're doing. You're doing it because Christ in you doing it. And it gets me out of the picture. And that's what I love about the message of grace, is the fact that God, through Paul and his writings, puts the emphasis on who you are in Christ and what Christ is in you. You with me? That's the grace motivation. And the fact that nevertheless, he says, it's got to be me, not you, Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Isn't that the way we are? And that's why it makes a difference in your life. It made the difference in my life. And Peter is no different. So he has, let me share this with you. That human nature, it's transdispensational. Nobody got out of that human nature but the Lord Jesus Christ. You with me? There's nobody, that old nature has been in everybody since Adam. That human nature, hasn't it? And it's still there. Whether you want to agree with it or not, it is still there. Dangerous for some of us. So when you get closer to the cross, as we're working through Matthew, you get closer to the cross, you'll see the two Adams. You'll see the first Adam, and you see the second Adam. Or the last Adam, I should say. But when Christ says he's going to surrender on that purpose, that's what gets Peter. And once again, Peter was no coward, people. Peter was no coward. He went out of the garden frustrated, mad. What do you mean, put my sword up? What do you mean? I'm here to die for you. And the frustration of, I want to do this, and I want to do it for God. It's all about them, and it isn't about the Lord. You remember in Romans chapter 7? Romans chapter 7 verse 1 says, Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. That man is subjected to the law as long as the man lives. But that law is also the performance, to get to God. And God says, no, that's wrong. I have put you in Christ, and it's got to be Him. See, they was in Christ here. They had Christ with them. It's got to be, in this dispensation, it's got to be grace, not law. And don't Romans tell us we're dead to law? And if we're dead to law, why are we working on our performance-based system? Good thought, isn't it? It is His grace, not your performance system. It's got to be the Holy Spirit taking the Word of God, and that's motivating you. You know, I shared this week about grace motivation of what Christ did for you at Calvary and how you get the doctrine inside your soul. It motivates you totally different than when you was under a law system. Many of you may not think that far back, but a lot of us was under a law system, under what I call a religious system, church-wise. And they, whether you was belonged to Camp B or Camp C or Camp D or P, they put you under a system, didn't they? And you did it or else. So that man's up here controlling you and putting his thumb over you. And when I shared that verse about we're not to have dominion over your faith, but be your helpers with your joy, this brother said, say that again. You know, because he's used to being under a system, whether you won't agree or not, because, you know, brother so-and-so, he's so kind-hearted, he wouldn't hurt a fly. He may not hurt a fly, but those words that he speaks, that he's trying to get you to follow, is following a law system. God has set us free from that law system. And Peter, what Peter was doing, it was what Peter has done, I should say. He was completely forgotten the Word of God and disregarded that. And he's gone off on his human viewpoint and what I want to do, Lord. I know I'm saying a lot about Peter. The issue is here about the Lord. But he's telling Peter something. There's people out there today will follow Peter and his teachings. Will they not? They will. And they totally disregard our apostle for today. When he comes out of the garden, he is mad and offended and he's frustrated. And like I said before, he's not a coward. That scared fellow, when he pulled out his sword and walked right up to him, you know, he's coming after him, and he battled with that high priest servant. He just wasn't ready to do the will of God. He wasn't ready to surrender. And I think that's a lot of our problems sometimes. We just don't want to surrender to God's Word. You know, I do it on my will. Lord, I'll study when I want to study. I just don't have time for this. I don't have time for that. I know that many of us in here is wanting to do some Bible studies during the week, but it seems like every time we've got a time up, it ain't right, it ain't time, it ain't this. So you know something, we just have to draw the line and say, hey, we'll meet Saturday morning. One Saturday morning a month, man. We'll get together and just study, have breakfast. It may inconvenience some, but we'll be open. You know, we open our church up. We set the tables, but you know something? You can't make people eat it, can you? When you're talking to your children and your grandchildren and your loved ones and you're just talking and you find out where they're at in Christ and your heart aches for them because you got this liberating truth about how Christ died for your sins without any strings attached. And you tell them that in hopes that that seed will be planted. And sometimes you just have to walk away after that, don't you? Verse 57. And they that had laid hold on Jesus, led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. And John chapter 18, verse 15 says, "And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest." So here is Peter and another disciple, and that disciple's John. That high priest knew John. Peter, when they came in to get Christ, everybody flees and runs from the garden, just like God told them, said he would do. When they come and get the shepherd, the sheep's going to scatter. And that's exactly what they did. But Peter and John stops outside the gate, and when the mob drags him by, Peter just follows along as they go. And the first to go in, go to Ananias. And that's what they're doing in John chapter 18, verse 13. It says, "And they led him to Ananias first, for he and was his father-in-law, Caiaphas, which was the high priest's the same year." You don't know, when you look in John, that account that I just read, you don't know what goes on there. It's not told. Because why? There's no disciples there. There's nobody that's writing this down. But when they were believers, they weren't any believers there to understand, only his enemies and the Lord, so you don't have to record that sits in the scriptures. So when they take them from a different place, it says Peter followed Jesus and another disciples. And the disciples went, that known of the high priest, went in to Jesus and to the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. I'm in John 18 where I'm reading this. John actually goes in with the Lord. They forsook him in the garden. Peter and John catches up with him as they go in, and John actually goes right into the judgment hall with him, and Peter hangs loose outside the door. And that Matthew chapter 26, verse 58 says, "But Peter followed him afar off into the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end." Peter just loved the Lord. He wasn't the kind of guy who would just quit on him. He is frustrated and confused. He's offended and mad. He's all tore up, and he's going to follow the mob to see what happens. And he just follows him to the end. He just couldn't leave him. You sense that in his heart. You know what I mean? He was ready. He just didn't want to surrender, but he loved the Lord and he followed the Lord. Verse 59. "And the chief priests and the elders and all the counselors sought fault witness against Jesus to put him to death." Lord, we thank you so much for the time you've given us. And as we think about this message of how your son was doing your will to go to the cross and die, and despite everything around him that he could have changed with you, he didn't. He was obedient to the cross. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.